1-800-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Jay from Chelsea points out that I should mention to Bill from Hartford and West Hartford and many others that today is April 15th. Any significance to that day for you, Bill? It's known as Tax Day. I mean, I know that because of Patriots Day on Monday and some other local holidays, I think the actual tax deadline is April 19th. But still, it is Tax Day here in the United States of America. And one of the bigger taxes that we have is coming up to be Obamacare. And you pay a penalty, or you pay increased state levies like they're proposing in Massachusetts to pay for the shortfalls in all these plans, that are supposed to be providing this low-cost insurance, which is actually high-cost insurance. And so there have been a couple of incidents, press reports, media events that made us think more about Obamacare and what a disaster it is. And joining us now on the line, joining us now in studio is Josh Archambault from the Pioneer Institute. And he's been involved in the study of Obamacare for a long time. Josh, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming by.
Really my pleasure. Thanks, Harry.
Well, listen, the first thing I want to do, let's play the Jimmy Kimmel cut. And this is talk about a guy who doesn't get around much anymore. Listen to this.
I'll fight with every breath in my body to stop the disaster that is Obamacare, that's killing jobs all across this country.
Is that really a disaster? Because it just doesn't feel like it is.
Well, you know,
I've not heard one story from a person I know that indicates that word disaster is a strong word to use.
Is he related to Pauline Kael, the woman who said in 1972, Nixon couldn't have won 49 states? I don't know a single person who voted for him. But, you know, even before we got the Jimmy Kimmel cut, this story in the New York Times yesterday is just, even by New York Times standards, this is more of a jaw-dropper than the Boston Globe fake front page on Sunday. News about Obamacare has been bad lately. How bad? Well, it's not that bad. Let's see here. I'm just looking for a little bit of this. If everyone is priced, this is like a dialogue, you know, between these two. What, they're moonbats, right? Do you know these people, Josh?
One of them's a reporter and one's a blogger that gets to write at New York Times, and I guess her opinion counts as news.
Oh, this is Margo.
Correct.
This is the one I'm going to – okay, let me just give you Margo. This is Margo summing up the problem. If everyone priced too low, they can just raise their prices in future years, and it'll be okay. Apparently, everyone has a trust fund. Everyone has unlimited money. Let's go back to Margo. That's not great for middle-class people who pay their own premiums, but most people in the exchanges won't notice a difference because of the way the subsidies work.
It's just you, the taxpayer, that feels the difference.
Yeah. So most of the people who are in the prep plan, they don't work anyway. So it's not going to affect them. It's not going to affect more of their take-home pay because they don't take home any pay. So what's the big problem here, says Margo Sanger-Katz. She parts her name in the middle, as they say. It does look, she continues, as if more customers than you might expect are staying enrolled in plans for only part of the year, which makes it hard for the insurers to collect the premiums.
Or gaming the system. Last year, Howard, they had 25% of people drop out of the exchanges from who signed up in the beginning to the end of the year, 25%.
Because they figured out that they couldn't be dropped for 3 months, right?
Or they go on, they have a big medical need, they get it taken care of, and then they drop out, and whatever little premiums they were paying, they don't have to pay it anymore.
But it's not a problem here. They'll figure it out, Margo says. How are they going to figure it out, Josh Archambault?
They're going to raise their prices significantly. That's the way they're going to do.
They're going to raise it. So in other words, then this is what they call in economics a death spiral, isn't it? We're in.
There's a serious chance of that in some states. Way we're headed.
So what happens is, as more and more people drop out, the only people left behind in this plan or any one such plan as this are the people who need the services the most, who are costing the most. So therefore, as more of the people who are providing profit for the insurance company by not needing services leave, the insurance companies lose more money. And the insurance companies are then forced to raise rates, which drive out more of the healthy people, leaving more of the poor people.
Yep.
But it'll all work out, says the New York Times. What's the problem? They'll figure it out.
Well, and you see the insurers positioning just this week, announcing their big, huge losses. Exactly what you're describing, Harry.
Yeah. Those who say, this is the other guy. Who's this guy? This guy is Reed Abelson.
Yeah,
he's a reporter.
A healthcare reporter.
He sees the world, or at least the Obama world, through rose-colored glasses himself. Those who say Obamacare is doomed argue the premiums are just too high for people who don't qualify for a subsidy. The deductibles are steep, meaning you end up paying for a lot of your care before you see the first dollar of coverage, and you can't always see your choice of doctor. The result is that the market could be too small and therefore too volatile.
Well, he's truthful in that it is too expensive. If you're not getting one of those very generous taxpayer subsidies and you're middle class trying to pay this out of pocket, you're probably paying more for health insurance than your mortgage.
And it's only going to get worse.
And that's what it appears to be headed towards.
And Jimmy Kimmel doesn't know anyone who's having a problem.
That may be his bigger bubble issue, getting out of Los Angeles to meet some folks that don't make a lot of money or aren't in the entertainment industry.
Now, here's Margo again. Now, you know, as we all know, the president of the United States has decided that he can change laws that Congress has passed just by executive order or by fiat. No other president, I believe, has ever claimed this authority, even in wartime. But he claims he can do it just to protect his rear end and his Democratic members of Congress. Margo, the Obama administration, responding to a political freakout about people whose plans were getting canceled in 2014, let states keep them for a few more years. The result was that healthy people tended to hold on to their old, cheaper plans while sick people went to the exchanges. She seems shocked that people would want to hold on to their older, cheaper plans that give them actual services, that they can afford to go to the doctor. She's somewhat disturbed about this.
Yeah. It's just remarkable, not only how the law was passed, but how it's been implemented in that way, not thinking through the unintended consequences on many, many levels.
What gets me about this, though, Josh, that's why we wanted to talk to you, is, I mean, how clueless can these people be? I mean, Reed Abelson, you're right, he seems to have at least one foot grounded in reality. I mean, this woman, Margo, what is she thinking? But she's typical of these people, isn't she?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of folks that are in D.C. or in this political world, they lean one way more often than not in the media. And so they talk to people who parrot back what they want to hear. We're optimistic. All it needs is a little bit of tweaking, and we'll be fine moving forward. I think the challenge is that you're setting up a situation where you can only really afford health insurance under one situation. You're getting huge taxpayer subsidies. Or the other program is everybody's getting dumped onto Medicaid, which is traditionally a program that was for low-income individuals.
That's the John Kasich
model. Yes, that's what the governor expanded out there under Obamacare. I mean, even here in Massachusetts, we have almost 30% of our population on Medicaid, which is, again, supposed to be a welfare safety net program for low-income individuals. That's a problem.
So 30% of the population?
Yes, we have almost 30% of our population.
So almost one out of every three people you walk by on the street is on this quote-unquote low-income safety net program.
Yep, and then you have the exchange, which is another piece. You're getting a very generous subsidy there, and those coverages are looking more and more like Medicaid. So really it leaves everybody who makes in the middle class and up a river without a paddle. they have to try to dig out of their wallet. They don't have as much money for retirement. They can't pay for college. They can't, because they're all going towards
healthcare. And the thing
healthcare.
Is, they're paying more, but they're getting less services.
That's right. Yep. Deductibles have been going up.
Copays
have been going up. I mean, people feel this on a very real basis. They
right.
may not fully understand it, but they feel it.
Yeah. So you know, people like Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama, you know, Barack Obama was running around talking this nonsense about how all these doctors were chopping off people's arms because they were getting all these 10 times the payments they were really getting. And then people like Bernie Sanders would say, we've got old people that are eating dog food and they're having to chop the pills up because they can't afford them. And so now we've passed his wonderful socialist utopian measure, and now they can't even afford to buy the pills that to chop in two. And they're reduced to eating cat food.
Yeah, I think the problem, one of the major problems with Obamacare is it baked in all of the dysfunction we had in our healthcare system and probably accelerated some of the worst trends. So while you can kind of nitpick certain different areas, everybody experiences this a little different, whether you buy insurance on your own, whether you get it from your employer. Generally speaking, all of it is on an unsustainable path forward. And without a doubt, even when you talk to Democrats in D.C. who worked on this law privately, they will say, things are going to have to change. We just can't say that publicly. And so it's a matter of who's actually going to step up and change something going forward here, because people.
Why can't they say it publicly? I don't understand it. It's a disaster. And I, by the way, I'm getting all these calls from people who apparently don't know Jimmy Kimmel. That's all I can say. Here's one, 860. I couldn't afford the premiums or the subsidy, so I paid the penalty this year, got no money back. Obamacare sucks.
Well, I think that sentiment is. The Wall Street Journal had an article last week that was talking about how many people are buying temporary insurance, which actually doesn't qualify as insurance as far as Obamacare is concerned, because they simply can't afford it. So they buy it for a couple months and then they move on. So and the other area we've seen tremendous amount of growth is the healthcare sharing ministries, a kind of coverage that.
Oh, I hear about them on the radio.
That's
sometimes.
Right. You hear them on
the
radio,
advertising.
Which before Obamacare, probably everybody, there's very small amount of people on those programs nationally. Now, seeing tremendous growth, probably about 1 million people or more that are using those sorts of opportunities to try to cover their health care costs.
And people who have a few bucks are opting out and going for the boutique physicians, if they can, the boutique practices, if they can.
Yeah, that's an opportunity for some folks. Direct primary care is another trend that we're seeing where individuals are just paying a certain amount of monthly dollars to a primary care doc so they can guarantee they can get in. One of the problems we have here in Massachusetts, personally and nationally, folks have a hard time even seeing a doctor. We're talking 45, 50 days before you can find somebody to go in and see you for an appointment.
And the illegals are getting Obamacare, aren't they?
Well, this is a big debate. As far as the letter of the law is concerned, no, they should not be. But what is clear is that last year 500
– the golden parachute plans under the letter of the law should be dead by now, shouldn't they?
That's coming. But 500
it's coming, but it was supposed to come this year, wasn't it? I believe.
2018 was when it was supposed to – 2017, excuse me, was when it was supposed to kick in, and it was delayed. But as far as undocumented or legal immigrants are concerned, what we know is last year 500,000 people were removed – in 37 states because of questions of their immigration status. They couldn't prove that they were here legally. So at least temporarily, it appears that quite a few folks are getting coverage that shouldn't.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, they always said, well, the illegals, they can't get any coverage. But they could just go to the emergency room. There's been a Supreme Court decision on the books for how many years?
Correct.
Saying you can't turn anyone away.
Correct.
Nobody doesn't have health care who can get themselves to an emergency room.
That's true. It's whether you can hold an insurance card or not is really the question. But certainly, as a country, federal law and court rulings have made it clear that anybody can show up.
We're speaking to Josh Archambault from the Pioneer Institute here. If people want to read your reports, where should they go on the internet?
Pioneerinstitute.org.
Pioneerinstitute.org. And you've got all your stuff. And
we've got a bunch up there. Yep.
That's great. John, you're next with Howie. Let's go to John. John wants to talk about insurance. John, you're next with Howie Carr and VB and Josh Archambault from the Pioneer Institute. Go ahead, John.
Hi. I just had to talk about how bad I got screwed in the last few years. Our insurance, I used to pay about $105 a week at work. And a couple years ago, it got so bad that the company had to drop the insurance. So I had to go through the exchange. Now it went up to like $450, which is close to the same. But if my wife got a job for $10 an hour, because you know, we go through the exchange, you get money taken off. If she had a $10 an hour job, our insurance would go from $450 to over $1,200.
Yeah.
Which means she'd be working for like $2 an hour. And this year we got insurance, you know, you have to renew every year. And this year our insurance is about the same, but we didn't know it. We can't keep our doctor. We can't keep our hospital. We have to drive an hour to go to a doctor. And our deductible is insane. And we were just getting screwed left and right. I bet we paid double now than what we did 3-4 years ago. And we have to drive an hour to a doctor. It's awful.
You know, even Margot here in the New York Times has figured out that guys like John have a problem. Every time I write a story about the health law, I get comments and emails from people just above the income cutoff for subsidies. That's you, John. That's what you're looking at. These are the people who have been hurt the most by the health law. Plans on the exchanges are just really expensive for them and often come with big deductibles, too. And premiums keep rising. Is she describing you, John?
Oh, unbelievable. And, you know, if my wife got a $400, you know, a week job, and for our insurance to go up $200 of that, you know, what are you working for?
What should he do, Josh? I mean, who should he yell at?
Well, there's lots of people he can yell at. Certainly most of our elected officials is probably a good place to start. But I do think, you know, just as far as advice for people moving forward, health insurance brokers exist for this reason, to try to help you navigate this. I'm not a health insurance broker, but it would be wise for folks that find themselves in really tough spots to try to seek one out. Just pay them for an hour or two to give you some advice. See if you can shop around, try to save a little money. But shopping, as Hillary Clinton was suggesting to the other day, is certainly not the solution to dealing with Obamacare. You actually have to deal with some of the regulations, the things that people like I spend every day looking at that individuals don't care about. They just want to be able to afford health care.
Right.
They want to be able to show up and pay for it for their kids. There's some
they
serious—
just want, they want to have a plastic card that they can give if they have to go to a doctor for themselves or for their kids.
That's right.
And they want to be able to afford to do other things like eat and pay the mortgage if they have this plastic card they can give to the doctor or the emergency room.
508 says, why didn't you ask John if he knew Jimmy Kimmel, Howie?
Okay. Hold on, Josh. We'll be right back. 1-800-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
I wish we could follow forward all of these texts that we're getting to Jimmy Kimmel. They're just so many. I can't even read them all. There's so many. In New Hampshire, I pay $1,300 a month for a couple, $6,000 deductible. $6,000 deductible. My cousin, 62 years old, and his wife in Oklahoma, this is 617, just lost their insurance on January 1. Reason, rates jacked up 50% overnight. Told me they can't afford new premiums, and now he and his wife are uninsured thanks to Obama and Congress. And everyone was supposed to save $2,500 a year. ! 860, I'm working on my free health insurance. I'm learning Spanish. Arthur, do we have time for Arthur? We don't have time for Arthur. Someone at 207 very briefly said, have any of the naysayers' grim predictions not panned out, Josh?
Well, there's one that we're still collecting data on, but a lot of folks thought there'd be a lot of employers dumping insurance. That hasn't happened quite as fast as people expected, except for small business. That has started to happen, and we've got enough ample evidence here in Massachusetts to show that. We'll continue.
We'll keep talking about this. Everybody hang on the line. We'll come right back on, and we'll have Josh on for one more segment. Josh Archambault from the Pioneer Institute. I'm Howie Carr. Okay, we got Josh Archambault from the Pioneer Institute with us for one more segment here. We're going to go straight to the lines in just a moment. We're talking about Obamacare and the disaster that it is because Jimmy Kimmel says he doesn't know anyone who's affected by it. And the New York Times says everything's going to get straightened out. You know, It's all going to work out for the best. You know, a handful of people are getting screwed, but all of whom are apparently listening to the show today. And they but it, you know, it's being done for the right reasons, you know, so that liberals who have or who are covered by congressional plans can feel good about themselves. That's what better reason is that? VB, you haven't said much. Do you have any questions about this or anything you want to say?
No, I know how this goes. We got my daughter had a allergic reaction the other day, so we had to get an EpiPen. Not cheap, obviously, but what do I care? Because insurance covers it. Oh, no, they don't, as it turns out. They laughed. Said, have you seen your deductible lately? So guess who had to pay for the EpiPen? I didn't realize that big chunk of change was going to go, but there it went.
I got a question for Josh. What's the latest with the website? Is that going to work next time we have open enrollment? And do you know how much money we've actually spent on that?
So two stories here. There's the Massachusetts Health Connector website, and it's
which
stable.
Which was a disaster.
Which was a disaster, led to a still ongoing FBI investigation over how that all went down. It's stable. Whether it can attract people to it that don't require a taxpayer subsidy.
When you're dead, you're stable, too.
Big question. That has been pretty expensive as a result. Then, of course, there's the national one. We don't use it, but healthcare.gov. That's been very expensive. It's about $1 billion, just over $1 billion they've spent on that website alone. And there's some big questions about whether they're actually able on the back end to check people's eligibility correctly. So there's still questions. The actual website itself seems to be working pretty well, but at the federal level, I keep hearing little stories and dribs and drabs every once in a while about people saying, doesn't look like they're checking correctly income and all sorts of these other things. And the problem is, when they deem you eligible, they give you eligibility for 12 months. So they're not following up on all of these issues as quickly as they should and saying, well, actually, no, you can't prove to us you make this amount of income. We're going to remove you. They're giving them coverage for 12 months. So we've still got some lingering issues here that are costing taxpayers.
What if the banks gave out mortgages like that?
They'd be out of business.
Right, exactly.
So if I'm like a freelance columnist for, say, the New York Times or a blogger, and I unexpectedly get another job and I make more money than I thought I was going to when I originally qualified for my subsidy or whatever it was, what happens when tax season comes along and I made more money than I told them I did to get my subsidy?
So the way the law is written, you should have to pay them back a ton of money. Now, the Obama administration hasn't really enforced that. So conveniently, to have some sort of political freak out, as we've seen in the past, they haven't really enforced that. But in theory,
that's another kick the can, right?
These are very much kick the can, and it actually could come back to bite people. Think about, you're in a seasonal job, so you work, you make a lot of income for a few months. So maybe you applied when you weren't making the income. You make a bunch, pick up a few hours before Christmas or a holiday. End up, your kids in your house pick up a job, end up with more income. It could come back to really bite you if they actually enforce the rules. Nobody understands that.
Somebody said that another texter said that she knows somebody two sisters who looked at they studied this, and they said, screw it, we're quitting our jobs.
That's the deep concern, is that the subsidy is so generous that people would either do that, which is maybe a more extreme example, or probably the more concerning one is people purposefully keep their income down so they don't go over a cliff.
Or you start working under the table.
Or you start working under the table.
And if you have, if you've inherited your house and you have, you've inherited some trust funds or something like that, then you can live off that and you don't have any quote-unquote income, basically.
Exactly. And that's – all the problems that we've had when we talk about welfare over the years is unfortunately baked into these sorts of programs too. You have these enormous cliffs, and people are doing the calculations. And instead of going out and working more hours and supporting their family, they're making those calculations.
Well,
terrible for our economy.
Then, of course, the other part of it is that some people, because if you work over 29 and a half hours, a big corporation has to give you an insurance policy. A lot of these companies, and I've dealt with this in my rental building in Framingham. People have had to move back tenants have had to move back to their parents' house because they were cut from 40 hours a week at the department store they worked to 29 and a half.
That's right. In certain sectors, we've seen this happen, retail or restaurants.
Yeah, retail, that's
or something.
What I'm talking about.
It's been a huge, huge problem going forward. People are just reacting to the incentives, and as a country and an economy, that's not what we want. We want people to be progressing forward, being entrepreneurs, and working as many hours to support their family.
We want
instead
them
of
to be unfettered.
Them. That's right. Yeah,
that's an old-fashioned word you don't hear much anymore, but that's what we want.
We want them to be rewarded for hard work, and unfortunately we're undercutting that in many of our public policies.
508, Howie, I've been an insurance consultant for 14 years. I'm delivering companies 35% increases this year. 35%.
Josh, I know there was a move to make the use of tobacco products a pre-existing condition so that insurance companies can't charge tobacco users a higher rate. Do you know if that ever went anywhere outside of the District of Columbia?
So Massachusetts did decide to make it a factor that you would be charged more for if you were a tobacco user. But that's always debated every year on whether you should charge it. I mean, really what it is if you don't use it as a factor, then everybody that doesn't smoke will subsidize their coverage. That's the reality. And that's a lot of what Obamacare is, certain groups of people subsidizing other groups of people. And it's a really messy process and a really expensive one at that.
908, Howie, live in New Jersey, kept my insurance, but employee share premiums went from $200 a month to $1,000 a month. I could downgrade to a crap plan if I wanted.
But on a smaller level, 617, just left CVS, Howie, $25 copay for my cholesterol medication. Last year it was $10.
Yeah, that's
2.5 times. I mean, that's a lot. That's an increase for people. That hurts.
Well, tell it to Margo. Do you think Margo cares?
Or Jimmy.
Or Jimmy, right. Margo or Jimmy. Reed might care a little bit.
Or Jonathan Gruber.
Yeah, Jonathan Gruber, yeah.
Anecdotes. Yeah. All these
that's
are.
Right, yeah. That's right. Thank you, Duvall. Karen, you're next with Howie Carr, VB, and Josh Archambault from the Pioneer Institute. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Howie. Hi. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm calling because my husband was 62 last year and left his job in October. He's been a successful businessman all his life. And we are in New Hampshire, and we carried COBRA until the end of the year. And in January, we went online to sign up for Obamacare. And first of all, they couldn't qualify him or identify him or something. So we had to call.
Josh is smiling. This seems like, is this an old story for you, Josh?
Yeah, all sorts of problems with just basic customer service stuff.
Right. Go ahead, Karen.
So long story short, we get this gentleman on the line who really is, you can tell, is quite challenged with the task of identifying my husband's Social Security number, whatnot. So anyways, long story short, he asked us how much money we plan to make this year. And because we just retired,
how much money we plan to make? That's a good question, isn't it?
Right.
Wish I knew the
exactly
answer to that one.
No, yeah. No question about assets. No question about anything like that. Just how much money we plan to make. Well, my husband's just finished a book and is planning to do some consulting, but obviously, until it happens, we don't know. So we told him the truth. And it was a low number, but we don't have a mortgage. We don't have any bills. We put 5 kids through college, and we don't owe anything. And we can live off what, you know, we planned this.
So tell us what happened, Karen. We're running out of time here. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So anyways, ding, ding, ding. All the bells went off, and he said, hooray for you. You qualified for Medicaid. And my husband said, what? And he said, yes, according to your income, you're covered. You're fully covered.
You're poor. Congratulations.
Yes, Howie. And then he said, and not only that, according to your income, you probably qualify for this, this, and this, too. And then I really understood how John Kasich talk about him expanding Medicaid in the state.
Are you calling on an Obama phone, Karen?
No, but I could have one. I could have the internet too, Howie. But my husband won't. My husband was like, you're kidding me. What do I have to tell you I make so that I can pay my fair share? Because I don't want the government paying for me. He said, well, you can't. You can't tell me. You just told me what your income was. You can't change it now.
What is this? Is it lie? Is this a crime like lying to an FBI agent, Karen? I don't know.
But we went to a local person in New Hampshire, somebody who sells insurance, and we now pay for our insurance without subsidy because we are just that type of person.
How much are you paying, if you don't mind
sharing?
How much are you paying a month?
Oh, we pay, I think it's $1,000 a month, and we have, between the two of us, it's over $5,000 deductible.
Oh, well, Karen, good luck, and thanks for being the kind of person you and your husband are. I'm glad you didn't take the Obama phone or the free internet or all the other bennies. Thanks for the call, Karen. 1-800-500-4242. We're running. Well, we can do one more segment, I guess, on this if you can stick around. One more segment, then we got to move on. But can you come back sometime?
Sure, happy to.
Yeah, we're gonna have to spend more time on this. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
+1 800 500 4242. Play that Obama.
One thing for them to argue against Obamacare before it was put in place. Every prediction they've made about it turned out to be wrong. So it's working better than even I expected.
And I believe
that last part.
It's working even better
than he thought. I believe that's probably true.
Has anything not come true other than that, one little point that you made? I mean, it seems like it's more disastrous than anyone anticipated.
Well, they'll point to things like, it's costing less than we projected. Well, that's because fewer people are signing up. That's one reason. I mean, again, both sides on this argument have tried to spin any data point, but by and large, I think any objective folks has to listen to your listeners what they're
saying. If your deductible is $5,000 or $6,000, you're going to seek less health care.
Yeah.
So the cost is going to go down. But the fact is, the people who are working are the ones who are getting screwed, and the people who aren't working, it's a great thing. Not a great thing. It's still crappy, but they're still not paying for it, so it doesn't affect them. So you're making working people, taxpayers, less healthy while you're not affecting illegals or people who are on welfare, correct? Or who are in poverty.
Yeah, we have set up a system that's, like I said before, not sustainable. And instead of focusing on getting people access to health care and getting a good deal when you go get health care, we focused on whether you can even afford to have the insurance card. That's terrible, missing the goal here going forward.
Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr, VB, and Josh Archambault from the Pioneer Institute. Go ahead, Arthur.
Well, Josh was right, and Obama is a perfect example. It's deny and lie. And, and until the media turns around and tells these stories, and exposes it for exactly what it is, and everybody sees it, it's not going to happen. But we don't have control of the media. And so as long as that, this lie is going to continue to be told.
Yeah, but everybody knows this is going on. I mean, again, look at the way our texts have exploded in the last hour. It's just amazing. Thanks for the call, Arthur. Nick, you're next with Howie Carr, Josh Archambault, and VB. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howie.
Hi.
And guest. I'm one of those guys with a $6,000 deductible.
Yeah.
I'll pay about $400 to $500 a month for that kind of a plan, which means I'm paying $400 to $500 a month for nothing because I'm
right.
not going to be using
exactly.
$6,000 worth of healthcare.
You can't afford. You can't afford it. You can't afford to use it. Right?
I have to private pay.
Yeah. I know. That's the thing. I mean, you're not paying he's not paying a penalty of what is it now, $900 a year if you don't pick it up?
It's gone up this year a little bit, but yeah, it's based on your income.
So he's not paying $900 a month penalty. He's paying $400 to $500. He's paying a $6,000 penalty.
Yeah. Again, I do want to be clear because health insurance is for those catastrophic events. But if you don't know how much something costs before you go in and you get stuck with a $3,000 bill for something routine, that's a serious problem. People can't afford that.
Josh Archambault, we'll have you back here very soon, okay?
Thanks
Thank
so much.
You very much. We're going to move on. We're going to have to talk about pervs at Phillips Exeter Academy. I'm Howie Carr.